This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Hour number two of the Blitz starts now. Live FM 105.7 AM 1340 as always on your Fan Run Radio app. Head over to fanrunradio.com. Click the link at the top for the live stream. And as always, you want to see our smiling faces, head on over to the Periscope, Facebook, and Twitter Live. But let's go ahead and get into an opening drive. Hit some of the top headlines in all of the sports land. First down. Hey, we had a draft lottery last night. The NBA draft lottery took place. And surprise, surprise, Cade Cunningham, you are headed to the Motor City. That's right, the Detroit Pistons win the number one pick in the draft lottery. Followed by, we'll give you the next, we'll go top 10. Houston Rockets at number two. The Cleveland Cavaliers solidify the third pick. Toronto Raptors at four. Orlando Magic at five. Oklahoma City Thunder at the sixth pick. The Golden State Warriors at number seven. Orlando Magic at eight. They got two picks in the top 10. And the Kings at number nine. And the Pelicans at the 10 spot.
Not so fast, Chance. GM Troy Weaver says dealing the number one pick is an option for Detroit.
Oh.
But Kay Cunningham likely the pick if he stays put.
Okay.
I think a lot of people don't see Cade as the like franchise changing first overall pick.
I mean, I don't know. The scouts that I've seen on Twitter see him is a franchise like changing player.
See, most people say that. Why would Pistons not want him? I feel like they need.
I mean,
him.
I think they would need him.
Yeah.
I would say I guess the only reason that you would trade that pick is if you can get a really good return and still get a lottery pick, because this is one of the best draft classes we've had in a very, 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 very long time, especially at the top. Like, personally, my favorite prospect in the draft is Kuminga, who went the G League route. I mean, you could get him at with that fifth pick. So if you could trade back and get a guy like that and then still pick up, you know, a lot of other assets, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't rule out trading it.
Yeah, the Pistons roster, the best player they have right now, and he's pretty good. He might even get traded next coming. Maybe they trade him along with the top pick. Jeremy Grant, he's definitely improved his skill level over the last couple years. He finally got out of Oklahoma City, followed by, I believe he was a Nugget maybe, and now he is the top player in Detroit. They have Killian Hayes at point guard and Sadiq Bey at small forward.
I love Sadiq Bey. He's my favorite player in the draft last year.
He's a player that's rising. Hamidou Diallo he went to Kentucky, I believe, at shooting guard. And then they have Josh Jackson. And then there's a bunch of other guys whose careers kind of washed up at this point. Dennis Smith Jr., Mason Plumlee. I mean, he's just a guy to go out and be, you know, kind of an 8-point, 10-rebound guy for you. Frank Jackson, Corey Joseph. They don't really have a lot. And they have a Jahlil Okafor as well, so I would think that they need Cade Cunningham to kind of be the future for the Pistons. What do you guys think about the rest of the top picks here?
I hope Keon falls to seven and goes to Golden State.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Instead of him, I know he's been talking about that 6-9 range. I want to keep him out of Oklahoma City. They're going to be down for a while. But second down?
I don't know if Oklahoma City will be down for a while.
You don't think so? They have a lot of picks.
They have a lot of picks in the SGA and Dort, and now you add, you know, Kemba Walker. And
that's right. I forgot they added
Kemba.
Just
until you get to the playoffs, Kemba's okay. Until you get to the playoffs. But second down in a highly anticipated MLB debut, Charlie's guy, he talked about him a couple days ago, Wander Franco. He delivers for the Rays. I think he hit his first home, the number one overall prospect in all of Major League Baseball. He had a hell of a debut, starting at third base. He doubled, he homered, he drove in three runs, and but they still came up short to the Boston Red Sox in the 9-5 11-inning loss. What do you think about Wander Franco's first appearance? The guy looks as advertised.
It's fun, obviously. It's always always electric. It's always electric when you can, you know, get that major home run in your debut.
I loved his dad's reaction in the in the stands. He even went on to say, in that at bat, I actually knew I was going to hit a home run.
You did, Wander.
Because
that was the
pitch I was looking for. Hey, man, very talented guy. I ended up getting the pitch that I was looking for, and I was able to help the team out. His point toward his father while crossing the plate, his dad was going crazy. Says he felt super good. I love a good MLB debut.
Earlier this year, we saw the debut of Jared Kelenic, I think is his name, who was the previous number one prospect before he was called up. And I think he also homered in his debut. But then things went south pretty quickly for him, and he actually got sent back down a couple weeks ago. So hopefully Wander can not follow in Kelenic's footsteps and keep this up, because the Rays could use a guy like him up there. I mean, we saw what he can do already.
Unfortunately for the Rays, though, not enough for the victory, as they gave up four runs in the top of the 11th and lost that game. And now they've lost seven in a row.
Mm-hmm. Things are not well in Tampa Bay.
They've fallen a game and a half out of first place to the Red Sox.
Franco hit .315 with seven homers and 35 RBIs, 39 games at the AAA level. And hasn't been as much hype since a guy like Vlad Guerrero Jr. came through. He's even wearing number 5 out of respect for longtime star Albert Pujols, a fellow countryman from the Dominican.
I don't want to be a hater, though. But despite how fun that debut was, you really won't know much about him and his and his impact on the major league and whether he'll be able to stay
like
up
two
until
or 3 years.
Well, I mean, really, you just don't know like if a prospect's, you know, good or not this season until 2-3 months from now, when you can get some sort of scouting report on them and then change the way you pitch to them. A lot of prospects start their career pretty good because there's not really a book on them, and then, you know, once the major league pitching coaches and pitching staffs make their adjustments on them, the good prospects are the ones that can counter. And then you'll see prospects that can't counter or whatever else, and then, you know, they'll statistically fall off a little bit and end up getting sent back down and until they can figure it out.
Third down, Alex Caruso. He's in a little bit of hot water. Lakers guard Alex Caruso was arrested and released on Tuesday for possession of marijuana and drug paraphernalia, according to Texas A&M police. Both of those are misdemeanor charges.
Oh, okay. So he was back in Texas when this
happened. Yeah, he's back in Texas.
That makes sense.
Lieutenant Bobby Richardson of the A&M Police Department said that around 2 p.m. Central Time, Caruso tried to board a flight at Easterwood Airport in College Station, which is located on A&M property. Why is he? I feel like he's got enough money to maybe get a private plane, but I don't know. According to online records, though, Caruso was arrested for possession of less than 2 ounces of marijuana. TSA searched Caruso's bags and found an herb grinder that contained the weed. He was released after posting bond. He played collegially at Texas A&M, so he's going back home, I'm guessing, or back to see some people. Maybe, I don't know if he is from there. But Caruso, a little bit not too smart there.
What is it with people and athletes being dumb with their weed? I feel like if you're gonna smoke, Alex, maybe don't bring it on the plane.
Well, in his defense, and you know, in Los Angeles and California, it is recreational. And
maybe he just forgot he had it.
I guess. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like maybe that was
what
the case.
Can you still take it on a plane in California?
No.
Well, if you were traveling domestically, I don't know if you're traveling like just California city to city.
I guess if you're traveling within California,
but I know people that have left California and have definitely brought it back through carry-on. It's kind of the place that you're leaving from. What I've been told, the place that you're leaving from, if it's legal there, they're not going to say nothing. It's when if you're trying to fly back out of the place back to there, then you might run into some trouble there. But since it's like legal in California, in Colorado, in places like Chicago even, I think they're a lot more lenient on things like that because they know what people are coming there for and they know what people do in their cities. But yeah, not a very smart move for...
Not very lenient out there in Southeast Texas.
No, they're not. College Station was not having any of it. And maybe it was even more emphasis because that airport is on Texas A&M's property. In other news, fourth down, Vanessa Bryant and the families of the other crash victims in that horrific Kobe Bryant helicopter crash of last year, right before the pandemic, they have settled. That's right. Vanessa Bryant, her children, and relatives of the additional victims filed a settlement agreement notice Tuesday with a federal judge. But it looks like a lot of the agreement has not been disclosed yet. They're confidential, but I know they were asking for quite a bit of money when we talked about this story months ago. Pilot Ara Zobayan climbed sharply, and it was killing all nine aboard. And apparently, they shouldn't have been flying that day because the fog was too thick. And so they filed a suit against them for negligence. The settlement agreement would end legal action against Zobayan's estate, Island Express Helicopters Incorporated, and its owner, Island Express Holding Corporation. The suit alleged that the companies didn't properly train or supervise Zobayan and that the pilot was careless and negligent to fly in fog and should have aborted the flight. Island Express Helicopters has denied responsibility and said the crash was an act of God it couldn't control. They countersued two Federal Aviation Administration air traffic controllers saying the crash was caused by their serious erroneous acts and or omissions. So that is done, and those families and victims, those families and also Vanessa Bryant and her family will be compensated. And those are the type of stories that you love to hear on the backside of that. Hey, that was the opening drive. We come back. Let's go ahead and get to some NBA action. Talk about last night and lob passes. Really kill me. This is the Blitz. This is Fan Run Radio. How did our eyes get so red? And what the hell is on Joey's head? This is where I grew up. I think the prison owner fixed it up. Welcome back to the Blitz live here on Fan Run Radio. Take a quick time out. You know, I told you guys I had to do some moving yesterday. I got most of it done. I got one solid load left. I got all the heavy lifting out of the way. It was tough. It was tough. But I would like to send a shout out to my guys at Knoxville Muscle Movers. That's right, Knoxville Muscle Movers. My guy Desi, he hooked it up for me. He helped me out and made it very effortless, efficient, and took a lot of stress off of my back, literally. When I say muscle movers, I mean, this is a guy you don't want to mess with. This is a guy you don't want to find in a dark alley.
I should have used those guys when I moved here. I did it all by myself.
So, yeah, if anybody ever wants to know about Knoxville Muscle Movers, they can ask me. Maybe we'll get them a start. I gave them a little milk for free today. We'll get them to maybe sponsor the show as we go on. But they did a really great job for me, so I had to give them a shout-out today, Knoxville Muscle Movers. You can find them on Facebook. My guy Desi, he does a great job. Punctual, gets it done. And like I said, took a lot of stress off me. I got this one last load, and I'm done. I hate moving. I hate it with a passion. But, you know, I moved everything into new house, and then everything's just in the garage. So there's still going to be stress after that. Like, everything. Excuse me. Everything's in the garage. Everything. After you move, it's like, I ain't putting all this stuff up. I'm just putting it in the garage now.
Yeah. I moved to Knoxville back in March, and I still have boxes.
Still got boxes.
Still have boxes I haven't unpacked.
Yeah, well, I lived in a place where I lived there for almost, it was a total of 4 years. And then also, like, kind of like stayed different places here and here with, you know, girlfriends, ex-girlfriends, things like that, like back and forth. So I didn't really know how much stuff I accumulated. And over the years, I accumulated a lot of stuff that's not my stuff. I can tell you that about 80% of the items I have are mine. And then the other 20% are just things that I accumulate over the years. So it was a stressful time.
Are you a hoarder? Do you, like, have trouble getting rid of stuff?
Some things I feel like I hoard. But a lot of, like, things that I hoard are, like, things that, like, because my mother and father have passed on, like things that like they gave me, and I don't really consider that hoarding, but yeah, it's like things that I just hold on as
like sentimental.
Yes, things. I have a lot of sentimental hoarding items that like I can get rid of. You know, like, you know, it's been long enough, but I don't really hoard things. I'm a type of person when I go to purge, hey man, if I haven't been wearing it, I haven't been using it, goes in the trash or it goes to Karm or Goodwill or such like that. So I'm not like that type of hoarder, like, you know, the hoarder horror stories that you see reality. Like I'm not like that. I don't like to keep a lot of stuff, but it's just over the years I've bought a lot of things and just have a lot of things. And you just never know until you really get ready to move how much you have. So yeah, shout out to those guys for helping me out and really making it a lot less stressful for me, because I feel like I'm always too busy to get anything done. But we must roll on, and let's go ahead and get back to some sports. NBA action last night. We had a doozy. Game 2 between the Suns and the Clippers was one for the ages.
Playoff P is back.
Yeah, I mean, I was ready to give him his flowers and anoint him as playoff P, and I still think that Paul George is playing a hell of a playoff without Kawhi Leonard over these last couple games. But hey, if you're in the Clippers organization, the series don't start until they're down 0-2. They have won their previous two series in the playoffs after going down 0-2. They went to a game 7 with the Mavericks, got them, won 4 straight against the Nuggets, and they got their backs against the wall again. Paul George led his team. He didn't lead all scores, but he had 26-6. But he's only 1-for-8 from 3. That really cost him. And the big free throws at the end that he missed. We'll get to that. Ivaka Zubac had 14-11. 19-5 for Reggie Jackson, along with 3 assists. 10 points for Luke Kennard. You did not get the Terrence Mann game again that you got before in the closeout victory against the Nuggets. He only had 8 last night. But it was all about DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, and Cameron Payne. That's right. Cameron Payne led all scorers with 29 points last night. He was lights out at some points in that game, going 12 of 24 from the field. Booker adds 20 to keep the pace for his squad with no Chris Paul. And DeAndre Ayton is the talk of the town, 24-14. And he had his coming out party last night on a game-winning lob that cost me on my bet, but also cost the Clippers a second or a first win to even up that series. What'd you guys think of this game last night? This series is pretty damn good. If Chris Paul comes back, I'm afraid it's not going to be so great for the Clippers, and it might just be a sweep if he's able to play game 3. But so far, I mean, Clippers, they had that game last night. As much as we want to talk about, I do think on that last play, DeAndre Ayton got away with one by holding Zubac to get to the rim. I think that Paul George also, hey, you hit your free throws, you put the team in a position where they have to hit a 3 to keep this game going into overtime. He choked big time late in that one. But it was still a good game on all accounts. I thought it was a good game all around. It was one of the more exciting games that I've watched. And there have been some damn good playoff games. That's the people that don't like the NBA, and it's a lot of the older crowd, because it's not like the 90s. It's not like when I watched it. But they don't understand that the game's evolving, so whatever. You're missing out on some damn good basketball, and I'd hate to not be an NBA fan right now, because these playoffs have been fun. And I was really somebody that was against Charlie when he was talking about the parity going forward and how this might be a lot of fun with not the same teams, no LeBron, no Steph Curry, no KD. But I'm starting to see I like it. I like it a lot.
I'm not a huge NBA fan, honestly. I don't really love the product anymore. I don't think it's gotten to the point where it's not nearly as fun to watch. But this playoffs and this parity has really brought me back in some. I'm going to watch them regardless, because it's a major sport and I like sports.
Where's the product change? Because, I mean, you're a younger guy, so it's not like you watched the NBA in the great 90s with Jordan. And,
yeah, I did not. But
that's what I'm saying. So what do you mean by the product's changed for you? I mean, I know there's no Kobe, and maybe guys are a little bit more for the drama, and you could say they're softer, whatever. I just think, like, guys are bigger, faster, stronger. The NBA is so much better than me because they're so much better. I mean, they're professionals. Like, they're so much better than the college game.
I think the college game is so much better to watch.
It's so not, though. I mean, you have your opinion. I have mine.
Yeah, I understand. But I don't know. My problems with the NBA, like,
they can't.
The
mistakes they make in college piss me off. Like, the simple mistakes. And the flow of the NBA is just, I mean, effortless at times.
See, for me, I'm not a big fan of the regular season when it comes to the NBA, just because it feels
meaningless. I know a lot of people like that.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough effort in the regular season.
And then the constant load management and everything like that.
Well, you play 82 games. Huh?
Yeah, but you don't. My thing is, as a hockey guy, you don't see hockey players taking nights off like that.
And hockey guys are a whole different breed.
Oh, I know.
They're crazy.
And then the flopping. Like, I'm just not a huge regular season guy. I watch the playoffs. The playoffs are usually pretty good for the most part. And this year, they've been phenomenal. But it's just something about the regular season just not meaning a whole lot. You know what teams are going to make it and which ones aren't. Like, even me, I consider myself a Grizzlies fan, but I maybe watch 20, maybe 30 games a year when it comes to them.
I just feel like a lot of the players are so just soft, both on and off the floor. They feel kind of out of touch, too.
They face the most scrutiny, though. Like, out of all the major sports, the NBA players are the ones generally facing the most scrutiny from fans and from the outside as far as their mentality. Like, we don't nearly do as much. And yes, they're different sports, football, baseball, but we don't, like, do this to the MLB players and baseball players. We don't do this to hockey's tough. Like, hockey's a whole other breed. But we don't give as much flack to a lot of the other major sports.
Maybe you don't, because you don't follow those as much as you like basketball. But, I mean, the people
NFL.
I mean, I'm just saying. But, like, I don't know. I'm just saying,
nobody's ever like, oh, such and such baseball out here who's whining. He's soft. Like, we don't, or like, you know, such
like,
and such.
I feel like baseball people do that, and like hockey people do that with hockey, and football people do that
on
with
national,
football.
On a national scale.
Well, there's,
and on, I think, a, I don't and know, on a I still, regional
I,
scale.
I would still think you do.
I think,
but
it's more magnified in the NBA because there's less players than there,
I mean,
are in the
yeah,
other
regardless,
leagues.
So, I mean, I just don't like, I think the officiating favors offense too much. I think there's too many fouls called. You know, I don't think you're allowed to be physical enough. And I don't think there's enough defense either. I don't like the style of basketball that's played. I like the style of basketball they play in college. I don't like the style of basketball they play in the NBA. And I haven't most of my lifetime. I wish that I got to
see. Well, I would say my counter there would be that they're more skilled in the NBA. And while they, you may not see, they're not pressing guys because everybody is good and everybody's fast and they'll just break a damn press and they're not as physical, and there's more offense because they're just better at shooting the ball as well. But, yeah, nonetheless, it was a great game last night. Phoenix does go up 2-0, and there's a possibility that in Game 3, Chris Paul may be able to return. So that could be a 3-0 lead upcoming for Phoenix. Maybe the Clippers are able to battle back when they go back to Los Angeles.
Is Kawhi done for the playoffs? What's the deal with him?
More than likely, I believe that he is done.
That sucks.
If Kawhi was out there, I mean, I think that they win the first two games, especially with no – he has a knee sprain. So maybe he comes back game three. Maybe he's able to
push
himself.
Do we know
– Chris Paul, there is rumors that he will be able to play game three. If Chris Paul comes back and there's no Kawhi, I'd say he can probably go ahead and stick a fork in the Clippers because they're done.
So is it Suns and the
Suns are hopeful
and,
that Chris Paul will
and
return.
The Bucks are those the favorites now to?
I don't know. You got game one tonight in the Eastern Conference. That will be the Bucks taking on the Atlanta Hawks. They'll be in Milwaukee for the first two games. Ice Trey taking his talents to Milwaukee. He'll be taking on Giannis and them boys. Chris Middleton, Brooks Lopez. Kevin Huerter and company. Maybe we get another Kevin Huerter game tonight. Who knows? I think this also should be a pretty legitimate series as well. Over their last three games, that they played, the Hawks and the Bucks. The Hawks won two out of the three with the Bucks. The Bucks won two out of three with the Hawks winning the last matchup on April 25th by a score of 111 to 104. A lot of star power in this game. A lot of, you know, changing of the guard per se. Giannis is coming into his prime, or is in his prime right now, the MVP. And then also, you know, Trae Young kind of coming into his prime. The young and very flamboyant Hawks, the team probably with one of the biggest chips on their shoulder. They weren't supposed to be here, in all accounts. People said that they couldn't beat the Knicks. Like, oh, they beat the Knicks, okay. There's no way they can beat the one-seeded Philadelphia 76ers, who were the best team in the Eastern Conference the entire season. Oh, and then they take them down in a game seven. But they'll get the face off tonight. That game will be at 8:30 on TNT. What do you guys think, previewing this? Who do you think takes game one for the Hawks and Bucks?
I don't know. I feel like I keep doubting the Hawks. They keep proving me wrong. I have no idea defensively how on earth they can match up with the Bucks. I guess John Collins is going to be the one guarding Giannis, or maybe they try to put Clint Capella on him. I don't know. And then furthermore, I don't really know who guards Chris Middleton on that team. Is it Herter, I guess?
Yeah.
Maybe.
These two teams were expected to be watching Brooklyn and Philadelphia in the Eastern Conference Finals, but they've made it there. Overall, the Hawks and the Bucks are 2-2 in the playoffs, in their playoff series, but none of those games made it past the first round, and none of those came since 2010. So they're 2-2 in the best-of-seven series. But both clubs needed game sevens to win on the road to advance to this point. Do we have any concern for fatigue and how gassed the Hawks and even the Bucks might be? Anybody thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a real possibility, but both teams are going to be tired, so I don't see it being an advantage to one team over the other. And then after you kind of, you know, cancel each other out that way, I think it just comes down to who's the best player on the floor. And for both teams, it's somebody who plays a completely different position from one another. So it's going to be Giannis trying to take over for his team. And Trae Young's going to have to play better than what he did in Game 7, because you're not going to get the Herter show every time.
Yeah, they're trying to get him to shoot the ball more. Trae Young told him, quote, talked about Kevin Herter and his big 27-point outing in that Game 7 against the Sixers. Quote, we were definitely telling him to be more aggressive, score the ball a little bit more, play free, relax, and just have fun. Although the spotlight will be on Antetokounmpo and Young tonight, should be a good one. Should be a good one.
I'm excited for this series.
I think it's going to be a damn good series. Both teams are looking for their second NBA title in franchise history. They each have one. So looking to get their second in franchise history.
I mean, I think this should be a good series. Probably, maybe, as long as they can figure out something with Giannis.
Yeah, if they can stop Giannis, kind of clog the paint on him and force him to shoot from the perimeter, that's one way to stop him and keep him off the glass, hurting them there with second chance points. The Hawks, though, they've never advanced past the Eastern Finals since moving from St. Louis to Atlanta in 1968. So the Bucks do have a little bit of history on their side. 865-546-8200. Hey, let's come back and talk a little SEC football predictions, win losses from one of our guys, friend of the station, Barrett Slee. That's up at CBS Sports. Go ahead and get to some football action on the Blitz. Back to the Blitz. Only a couple more segments here for us. Talk Sports boys are here in the vestibule. They're ready to go. They'll have you wind up with Talk Sports and among other things from 12 to 3. But hey, we're going to do a quick audible. We're going to talk about SEC over under wins, but we're going to save that for tomorrow and have a couple good segments on that. Talk about, you know, predictions for the upcoming football season. But something I wanted to get into that we teased earlier is the controversy in MLB baseball, sticky substances and pitchers. Did you guys see this last night? It was quite the sight throughout all of baseball. Last night marked the first night that Umpires were cracking down.
It started started Monday, but there were only a couple games going Monday, and then this week has really just been the focus. All week will be on foreign substances.
Yeah, and the umpires did not disappoint. While checking, Charlie's guy Max Scherzer 3 times last night for foreign substances. The funniest thing about this to me is like the way the pitchers come off so pissed off. One, they do know that they were using foreign substances before. Like, okay, and now that the MLB is cracking down, most of them are not going to be doing so because they don't want to get suspended. But just how animated they were last night, you know, throwing the glove to them, taking the pants down. Here you go, hands up. It was quite the sight to see in all of Major League Baseball last night. You had, was it Sergio Ramos?
Sergio Romo. The way the night started, obviously, Max Scherzer in that early game got checked 3 separate times. The third time coming in the middle of an inning because Joe Girardi kept asking the umpires to check like the clown of a human being he is.
I like Joe Girardi doing
that. He can catch all the smoke.
I like that.
He ends up getting ejected. Him and Max Scherzer get into a pretty heated topic. Max Scherzer is probably the last guy.
The Nats GM said Girardi's a con artist.
Max Scherzer probably the last guy in the MLB I'd ever mess with. I think he would murder for victory, honestly. And he gets the last laugh because he got to clown the Phillies, held them to just 1 run and struck him out 8 times, and threw 5 innings in his stint or first start since being on the IL. But the last time he threw his hat down, he put his hands up and unbuttoned his pants and took his belt off.
Yeah.
And really made a stand. And then, like you mentioned in the late game, Sergio Romo, he one-upped Max Scherzer. He dropped his drawers.
He did.
Full on.
Dropped
walked
him.
Up, dropped his hat, and dropped his pants down. Showed up the umpire a little
they
bit.
They checked Max Scherzer's hair, checked his pants, checked his glove. Nationals GM Mike Rizzo said, "It's embarrassing for Girardi. It's embarrassing for the Phillies. It's embarrassing for baseball." During an interview with the Sports Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. I thought, like, it might be embarrassing for these managers to be asking for this, but this is pretty damn funny for baseball. I think it's pretty funny. I had a time I couldn't stop laughing. I don't think I can stop laughing now about it. And Sergio Romo was the best. But like I say, he comes to the third baseline, he just drop them all. You want to see it? I'll show it to you. I'll put it on the table.
This is just another example of why Rob Manfred is the worst commissioner in the history of professional sports.
He likely is the worst commissioner in all of professional sports.
And I'm not just talking about currently. I'm all time. He is awful. He is ruining the sport of baseball.
Can we get not Bill Gates back? What was the other guy before him?
Bud Selig.
Bill Gates lookalike, in a sense.
Yeah.
Older.
First, I mean, the whole 7-inning doubleheaders – hate that. Starting extra innings with a runner on second. Don't like that either. He completely botched last year's season. We almost didn't even have a baseball season.
Very true.
And now this, to implement this in the middle of a season, this drastic rule change, it's ridiculous. And I'm starting to believe more and more about what Pete Alonso said about how he's just trying to manipulate the game to make sure that
the market.
Yeah. To make sure the market stays where he wants it at.
Max Scherzer ripped into the MLB and Manfred a little bit last night, and he ended it by saying that players are getting fed up with being the only ones to talk about a situation created by the league's choice to crack down. These are Manfred rules. Go ask him what he wants to do. I've said enough. We've said enough. He was pretty pissed off. He also admitted last night that he normally does use some sort of substance, and he needs it. He said after the game, I mean, he's like, I'm tired of licking my fingers and tasting rosin. I'm trying to, you know, touch my hair, and then I get sweat, and I don't know what to do and whatever else. It's just everything is just –
this is going
to
be problematic moving forward?
Brutal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've already seen
– does it piss you guys off?
Oh, it does me. It's not –
it fires Charlie up too, I can tell.
Not the fact that the rule was implemented. It's just how it was implemented and how they're going about it. The opposing manager can just call for a check whenever they want, and the manager's got to make a big show about it. Or not the umpires can make a big show about it. It's just stupid. And who cares if the pitcher has a little extra grip on the baseball? The hitters have said so themselves. They would rather them be able to spin the ball a little bit more
than to lose it.
And get hit in the face.
I mean, we just need some sort of uniformity. We need some sort of agreement between everybody. And I think we should just, you know, draw the line at spider tack and other, you know, substances like that. But I think the MLB can agree upon and make it legal to use sweat or rosin or sunscreen and stuff of that nature. And, yeah, again, the most ridiculous part is we have all this going on in baseball. You know, these pitchers having their integrity questioned and you know, having to deal with the media and these really intense, you know, questions from the media. And the media members ask him straight up, you know, are you using substances? And what do you think about this? And why are they doing this and that and whatever else? And like Max Scherzer was talking about, Manfred hasn't said a thing. And that's what's really frustrating these players is, you know, this entire controversy has been created by a man who won't stand up and talk about it.
And tell him why he's hiding behind the veil. But, hey, that's our MLB talk for the day. Pretty intriguing story that we'll keep our eyes on. And Rob Manfred completely torpedoing baseball, maybe. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was funny to me. Hey, last call on the show. On the other side, we'll hit you a little if you haven't heard in the national calendar days and set it up for Talk Sports. Bussin' all the bells out the box. I just hit a lick with the box. Had to put the stick in the box. Pour up the whole seal. I'ma get lazy. I got the mojo deals. We been trapping like the 80s.
Now is the time to join all the other fan-run listeners that call Blue Water Climate Control and no one else. Temperatures are warming up and AC units are being put to the test. When you start to have trouble, call a company that does the right repair the right way the first time. Or even better, don't wait for trouble. Call and get their premier AC seasonal tune-up. Blue Water Climate Control, your independent, American standard heating and air conditioning dealer. 865-299-2290 or online at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com.
Attention homeowners, did you know your home equity might offer excellent borrowing potential? A home equity loan is an affordable way to pay for home improvements, college expenses, or consolidate those high interest debts. You could possibly qualify for some attractive tax advantages too. Contact us today to see how a home equity loan from Citizens National Bank can benefit you. Citizens National Bank. Banking never felt so Member good. FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Costa at Knoxville Smiles. One of the major improvements in dentistry in the past 10 years is dental implants. We perform simple dental implant procedures in our office almost every day of the week at Knoxville Smiles. If you're missing teeth or have broken teeth, this is the best way to eat, laugh, smile, and enjoy life again. Call us to set up a free consultation at 865-539-1776 or just go online to KnoxvilleSmiles.com.
Hey folks, are you in the market for a new car? Whether you want something brand new or you need a pre-owned vehicle, Old Ben Franklin Motors has something to fit your needs and your budget. Come in and test drive a brand new 2021 Mitsubishi today. The new Mirage, the new Eclipse, the new Outlander. It's easy in a Mitsubishi at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Looking for a nice used car, truck, van, or SUV? Old Ben has hundreds of cars to choose from right now. And as always, Old Ben makes it easy to get the car loan you need. No credit, no problem. Old Ben Franklin Motors owns the bank, and they'll work with you to secure a no-credit car loan if your situation demands it. Shop their inventory online right now at oldbenfranklinmotors.com or just come on down to 9711 Kingston Pike across from Franklin Square. Tell them Fan Run Radio sent you. Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike, online at oldbenfranklinmotors.com.
Your pet is an important part of your family, and when he or she is ill, you want the best medical care available. The vets and staff at Admiral Vet are ready to provide your pet with cutting-edge veterinary medical care. From wellness exams and vaccines to advanced diagnostics and complex surgical procedures, your dog, cat, or ferret will receive high-quality care at Admiral Vet. Located at 204 North Watt Road, give them a call, 865-675-1833. That's Admiral Vet. And online at AdmiralVet.com.
Final segment of the Blitz on this beautiful Wednesday. Talk Sports is geared up. They'll have you set. They're ready to go. But now it's time for us to end the show like we always do with a little if you haven't heard. Charlie, you're up first.
If you haven't heard, the Harlem Globetrotters. Yeah, let's get a little crazy here.
Those Harlem Globetrotters?
The Harlem Globetrotters.
Okay.
The ones that play the Washington Generals all the time.
Okay, what about them?
And now I guess they play some international team too, which, side note, it's really fun to go to a Globetrotters game and root for the other team. People get really upset. I highly recommend it. But they want the NBA to grant them a franchise. They want the next team added to the NBA to be the Harlem Globetrotters.
Wow.
Which they wrote a letter to Silver and the NBA owners explaining why the exhibition basketball team is the right choice for an expansion team now. Based on what we've already proven, we can field a team of talent on par with the pros of today, and we want to get the chance to do that, wrote the Globetrotters. As a world-renowned and legendary professional basketball team, we petition Commissioner Adam Silver, the NBA governors, and the powers that be to grant the original Harlem Globetrotters an NBA franchise. Not now, but right now.
All right.
I mean, hey, they were established back in 1926, 20 years before the NBA, and they've played more than 26,000 exhibition games. I think they won all but like three of them.
Yes, the Generals best record been of all like time.
I mean, there was a point in time back in however long ago that the Harlem Globetrotters were seen as like the best of the best. Sure, it was a long time ago, and it's kind of a little insane to think about now, but I don't know. How funny would it be to see the Harlem Globetrotters in the NBA, an expansion draft, see who all they take? I'd like it. I'm all for it.
Let's get crazy. Let's get crazy. If you haven't heard, Jack Harlow now says Creme de la Creme tour today. And he'll be coming to Nashville in October. You like Jack Harlow?
Not really.
What's popping?
I mean, a couple songs here and there. J. Cole also announced a major tour yesterday with 21 Savage.
We're back open.
Murray or whatever.
We're back open. Moray. Getting tours going back up, getting concerts.
Everyone's going
again
at once. I can't afford all these different tickets between stand-up comedy and music.
You don't like
so
Tyler Herro? That's not your jam, since you're a Heat fan?
It doesn't even rhyme very well. Like, the rhyme scheme sucks in that song. I don't know. I mean,
five white boys, but they're not in sync?
That's a bar. But,
Pretty good bar.
Like, Jack Harlow's not bad. He's just also not good to me. He's a little corny, okay, and his flow's mediocre.
Okay. I don't think a lot of his older stuff is that great, but
lyrics are so-so. I don't know. Lyrics are really
important. Has some good features. Some people who hop on the track, pretty good features. I can get down with it. I might go to the Nashville show. I think that's the closest for us. I'm sure there'll be a show in Atlanta though too. That'll be pretty close. But it's that time. Got to go and end the show as we always do. National Calendar Days, June 23rd, Wednesday, 2021. Today is National Detroit Style Pizza Day. You like Detroit style pizza?
Oh, it's the best kind, and absolutely Detroit style pizza is my like favorite thing ever.
I'm in agreement. I agree. Detroit style is top tier.
I like Chicago style, but Detroit style would be a nice second. I don't like New York style pizza. I'm not big on New York style at all.
Oh, I love New York style.
If you got to rely on sewage water to make your pizza in New York, then yeah.
No.
Well, to be fair, it does make for really good bread.
It's also National Pink Day, National Hydration Day, and National Pecan Sandies Day. Love a good pecan sandy.
What's a pecan sandy?
It's a cookie.
A really good drink.
No, it's a butter cookie with little pecans in it. It's nice. A little shortbread cookie. Hey, it's been a great show. For Charlie, for GP3, I am Chance Collins. We'll see you here tomorrow from 10 to noon. Talk Sports has you covered from 12 to 3. Keep it locked in to Fan Run Radio all day up until 8 o'clock and then with overtime.